This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Bark Commercial Grade Carpet and volunteer carpet layers who can help us with this project. Call 713-526-4000. In addition to carpet, our roof is leaking and we need qualified roofers to help repair or replace our roof. If you would like to help KPFT, call 713-526-4000.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Hello. It's Monday, August the 14th, 2006, and on tonight's edition of Queer Voices, we'll be having our fund drive, so be sure to call in your pledge of support for this program.
Give lots of money.
I'm Deborah Bell.
This is Jennifer Renee.
And Greg Chapman.
And I'm Glenn Holt.
And...
Elisar Saliva.
There you go. And on tonight's program, we'll be talking with Tony Pryor about singing to find your voice through his workshop called Joyful Singing 101. Greg Chapman and I will be doing that interview. And then I'll be talking more about singing with members of the Bayou City Women's Chorus with Amanda Prasak and Susan Hedman. Jennifer Renee.
Yes, I have Dana Beyer, who is a doctor and who is the first transgender running for the state legislature in Maryland.
And that's in District 18.
District 18.
Which is just right outside of Washington, D.C.
Chevy Chase.
Okay. Jeff Reed from the Houston Equal Rights Alliance, HERA, will bring us the latest on current political happenings and items of interest. Tonight's topic is Joe Lieberman and the dangers of the incumbency. Boy, I was doing so well there.
And you were on a roll. You really were.
And I wonder why they don't hire me at some commercial station and pay me a lot of money. And plus, we'll have the calendar, commentary, news briefs, music, and the internationally syndicated program, This Way Out. But first, we have to remind you to call that magic number, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. Now, just do it now. Get it over with.
Write big checks. Get it over with right now so that we can get on with the show.
That's right, because we do have a lot of interesting things to tell you about and to share with you, and you don't want to miss any of that. And that will be so much more interesting than listening to Jennifer and Greg and I whine.
Yeah, about not having enough money.
We don't have dates, and we don't have any money, and we need carpet, and we need a roof. But mainly, we need you, our listeners, to say, hey, you know, we do appreciate the information we get on Queer Voices. We do appreciate the fact that so many people come in and volunteer their time. Contrary to what a lot of people think, this is not a paid job for me.
I've been waiting for my check for 10 months now.
Hey, it's in the mail. You just keep waiting. I would love to get paid to be able to come on the radio and share information, to share music, and do one of those talk shows where you just basically give your opinion, because that's what they do on the right-wing shows. They just give their opinion.
Right.
And no matter what you say, I was on one recently after the Andrea Yates verdict came down, and whatever I said, this guy would twist. And he says, well, are you saying because I don't have mental illness in my family that I don't understand? And I said, that's not what I said. This is what I said. And of course, all he could do was try to shout over at me. And then he would just say, well, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. Well, who is he? You know, was
he's
he
the host?
He was. Yeah, that's it. So we're the host, so we get to say whatever we want to.
We can say what we want to. And we don't have commercials.
Well, that is one of the real things about KPFT, and another reason why your pledge of support and payment of your pledge is so important, because we can come on this program and talk about what we want to talk about. We don't have to try to be fair and balanced, because you get all that everywhere else in society. What we come on is report facts, information.
Talk about the things that people in our community are interested in.
And we help make the gay community, the gay, you know, lesbian, transgender community visible.
That's right.
And that's very important.
Or at least audible.
Or audible, that's true.
And you know, we're really blessed in the city of Houston on so many levels, being that we do have a community here. We have rainbow flags that fly on Westheimer during Pride Month. We have people in the city government that work with our community. We're part of the fabric of this city. You know, just like a lot of the things they talk about on Larry Payne's show, Interchange, those are things that concern people in our community just as much as they do anyone else.
Well, as much as the other side would like to make people think that we're some different group, we have the same concerns as everyone else about flooding, police protection, safety in our home and on the streets. All those things are important to us, in the environment, air to breathe. And it's important to talk about those things in an environment where we can openly have discussion and share our opinions as well as for you. We work for you.
And, of course, we try so hard to make sure that we bring you interesting personalities. Last week we had Pokey Anderson in here talking with Allison Bechdel, the writer and cartoonist of Dykes to Watch Out For, and talking about her memoir, where she talks about having had a closeted gay father and her own coming out, and then plus her father probably being a suicide. They're not really sure, but they think he was a suicide. And she's, you know, exposing her life. We just got a new book in that I said, Greg, I'd like for you to read this book and set up an interview with Mel White of Soul Force, who used to be a speech writer for Jerry Falwell, and now he does so much work within communities of faith talking about being homosexual and being a religious person.
And not easy these days.
No. And then, of course, we do so much to support the community, such as having the Women's Chorus folks come in and tell us what they're up to. So it's important for you to be part of keeping this station on the air, keep this information flowing. And what is that magic number, Jennifer?
Oh, it's 713-526-5738 or 713-526-KPFT.
We need a jingle.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, you work no, don't get me
maybe
singing.
Maybe Tony can work on that.
You already told me all you want me to sing.
So, you know, so some people with the sisters came up with a jingle for a sister, so maybe, by golly, you have hit upon something,
yes,
Greg.
Yes, we're going to have a contest. So, we want you out there to pledge and then send in your suggestions,
yes,
as a jingle for Queer Voices.
You will be eligible to submit a jingle.
Yes.
But we're going to go ahead and go to NewsWrap from This Way Out. So while it's on, you can make your pledge, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 12th, 2006. Two British lesbians who demanded legal recognition in the UK of their Canadian marriage were turned down in the London High Court Family Division. UK law automatically converts foreign same-gender marriages into civil partnerships, which nonetheless provide all the same rights and obligations. Sue Wilkinson and Celia Kitzinger, who were legally married in Vancouver, British Columbia, in 2003, denounced the court decision as profoundly discriminatory and an affront to social justice and human rights. The ruling, in part, said that Parliament has not called partnerships between persons of the same sex marriage, not because they are considered inferior to the institution of marriage, but because, as a matter of objective fact and common understanding, they are indeed different. The couple said they may appeal the ruling, though they're very concerned that the government is now seeking £25,000 from them, about $47,000 US, for the cost of the High Court case. They say that amount is roughly equivalent to their life savings.
A lesbian denied custody of her three children by Chile's Supreme Court has taken her case to the Organization of American States Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. The Chilean court ruled in 2004 that Karen Atala's lesbian life created for her daughters a situation of risk whose pernicious consequences would damage their psychic development and make them objects of social discrimination, according to a New York Times translation. Atala's lawyer, Macarena Sayas, told the Times that she will argue that due process was not respected. Atala's right to privacy was violated when courts had her computer searched looking for evidence of strange behavior, and the right of her children to be heard, which is binding in Chile, was completely set aside. If Atala wins, it will set precedent in several Latin American nations whose constitutions stipulate that rulings by the inter-American system override those of their own courts. Chilean activists believe the stage is set for progress on LGBT causes under new president Michelle Bachelet, a socialist, feminist, single mother, and former health minister who oversaw the country's HIV/AIDS programs.
An ugly custody battle in two U.S. states between lesbian former partners over a four-year-old girl named Isabel Miller Jenkins moved a step closer to the U.S. Supreme Court with a ruling last week by Vermont's highest court. Isabel was conceived through artificial insemination to Lisa Miller Jenkins. At the time, Lisa was in a relationship with Janet Miller Jenkins, which as residents of Vermont, they formalized through a civil union. When the relationship between the two women soured and they split up, a judge in Vermont gave Janet Miller Jenkins temporary visitation rights with the child. Lisa then renounced her homosexuality and fled with her daughter to Virginia, which has some of the worst anti-queer legislation in the country. She went to court in that state seeking sole custody of the child. A Virginia judge ruled that since the mother now resided in his state, Lisa was the sole parent and that Janet is nothing more than a friend to the child. A family court judge in Vermont then found Lisa in contempt for moving to Virginia and disobeying a court order involving the child's joint custody. And another Vermont judge ruled in November that under the state's civil union law, Janet must be regarded as a co-parent. The August 4th Vermont High Court ruling determined that the civil union between Lisa and Janet was valid and that the family court had jurisdiction to dissolve the union. In a unanimous ruling, the justices also said that Vermont's family court had exclusive jurisdiction to issue the temporary custody and visitation order under a series of state laws, including the Parental Kidnapping Protection Act. Lisa Miller Jenkins has not commented on the latest ruling, but she's expected to file an appeal with the U.S. Supreme Court.
A German court ruled this week that an Iranian lesbian can't be deported because she could face a death sentence in the Islamic nation. The 27-year-old woman, whose name was not released, traveled to Germany in September 2003 and applied for asylum. She was originally turned down by immigration officials but appealed that decision, saying she wanted to live out her homosexuality openly without having to fear persecution. The Stuttgart Administrative Court ordered the government to grant her request for asylum, concluding that the chance of disproportionate or discriminatory punishment of a homosexual relationship between women is very high in Iran. Such a relationship is an absolute breaking of taboos, even worse than between men. The court also said its ruling is binding precedent for similar cases. According to Iranian human rights advocates, over 4,000 lesbians and gay men have been executed since the Ayatollahs came to power in 1979.
The gay and lesbian stall at Zimbabwe's International Book Fair in Harare has been trashed yet again. Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, or GALS, was formed in 1990 and rose to prominence in 1995 when it challenged bans by the government on its participation at the annual book fair. The GALS stall has survived in the past few years, but it was vandalized again this week. Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe is unpopular for his economic policies, but his anti-queer rhetoric, at one time calling gays and lesbians worse than dogs and pigs, resonates with many of his countrymen. Mugabe most recently accused gay gangsters of being among the saboteurs conspiring for regime change.
Gays and lesbians in the U.S. military face continuing hostility on bases and ships where top brass fail to prohibit harassment. This more than 6 years after the Pentagon specifically prohibited anti-queer abuse, according to the findings of an investigation by the Reuters news service published this week. On the Navy's USS Theodore Roosevelt aircraft carrier, for example, anti-gay statements and jokes have been incorporated into a video about the F-14 Tomcat fighter aircraft, recently shown to reporters on the carrier. Pilots sported T-shirts that said, "I'm a Tomcat guy and you're a homo." The commander of the fighter squadron himself wore the shirt. Aaron Belkin of the Center for the Study of Sexual Minorities in the Military at the University of California, Santa Barbara, told Reuters that the line between that and threats and violence can be quite thin. In a 2000 memo to the armed services and commanders, the Pentagon said, mistreatment, harassment, and inappropriate comments or gestures based on sexual orientation were not acceptable. In response to questions from Reuters, Rear Admiral Denby Starling, commander of Naval Air Force U.S. Atlantic Fleet, said in an email that steps have been taken to ensure that the offending messages have been removed. Squadron and air wing leadership have been counseled regarding the inappropriate tone set by such messages and poor judgment demonstrated in allowing their display.
Two lesbi-gay 19-year-olds brought a national Right to Serve campaign to Charlottesville, Virginia, and were immediately rejected when they attempted to enlist in the U.S. military this week. Wyatt Four and Rachel Miller walked into the recruitment center at a local shopping center under a media spotlight. My sexual orientation doesn't have anything to do with my ability to serve in the military, Ford told reporters, noting that he would like to have joined the Navy because his father and grandfather had both been sailors. It's very difficult for straight people to understand what life in the closet is about, he added. The Right to Serve campaign has been organized by Soul Force, a non-denominational LGBT advocacy group. Earlier this month, three openly queer young people were turned away when they tried to enlist at an Army recruiting station in Philadelphia. And in May, a gay man and a lesbian were rejected when they tried to join the Minnesota National Guard. For the past 2 years, the U.S. military has been unable to meet its recruiting goals. According to the Government Accountability Office, more than 800 service members discharged for being gay or lesbian were trained in skills deemed mission critical by the Defense Department. In June, the Pentagon was forced to apologize when it was revealed that one of its documents listed homosexuality among various disorders, decades after mental health experts abandoned that position. A bipartisan coalition in the Republican-controlled Congress now supports legislation to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but the measure has thus far gone nowhere.
And finally, the vehemently anti-queer Focus on the Family has been benched at Turner Field, home to the Atlanta Braves, after it co-sponsored the first Major League Baseball Faith Day there on July 27th, a promotional event designed to pack the ballpark with evangelical Christians. Focus on the Family representatives distributed anti-queer pamphlets to parents, teens, and clergy at the game, including a hot topic about how lesbi-gay activist groups are targeting public schools. In a column posted the next day on the website of The Nation, sports writer Dave Zirin wrote that the involvement of Focus on the Family represented the ugliest edge of right-wing evangelism and its advancing influence. Brave spokesperson Beth Marshall then told reporters that we do not feel it is an appropriate connection for Focus on the Family to be part of such events in the future.
But in an apparent first for U.S. Major League sports, the Gay Men's Chorus of Washington performed the Star-Spangled Banner before a Washington Nationals baseball game this week at D.C.'s RFK Stadium. Their performance received a standing ovation. However, because the national anthem was being performed, the crowd in the stadium was probably already standing.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 12th, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
This is Queer Voices.
Hi, this is Deborah Bell and
Greg Chapman
and
Elisar Saliba,
and we're talking with Tony Pryor. And you know, it was really funny because I had this invitation one day to go hear Tony sing, because I thought that's what he did. I mean, I thought that was like his job. And it wasn't till later that I found out that he's an attorney.
Oh my!
In the energy business.
That's right.
I mean, it seemed like does not compute, does not go together. How do you be a serious thing like an attorney and then also do like cabaret performance?
I can't see his horns.
Split personality, I guess.
Is that what it is? Well, but in addition to being an attorney, you are a professional musician. People
That's
actually
right.
pay you.
That's right.
So when did that start? Which came first, the musicianship or the lawyering?
Actually, the music did. I started playing the piano when I was 5 years old, and was in rock bands in high school and college and law school, and have been involved in church music and all kinds of stuff like that. So really, the music came first.
Uh-huh. And what led you to not pursuing music as a career, but going into law?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I do know that I enjoy practicing law, and I also enjoy the music.
Mm-hmm. And you have done some journeys in your life that have brought about some changes. And how did you come to this new enterprise, I guess we'll call it? Give me a little bit about your background so far in the musical world and how it's brought you to now seeking a new way to express yourself.
Well, I've always been interested in music and worship, so I worked one time. I've been involved in music programs of various churches, but I accepted a position in a church in the Houston area as music director, and they said, great, you're going to be our organist, and you're going to lead the choir. And I said, well, I've never done that before. And so I thought, well, what the heck? So I gave it a whirl and just loved it. And so I got interested in singing that way. What I noticed was that people would join the choir, and they would tell me when they joined the choir that one of the reasons they joined was because they felt safe. And that they... that was kind of a scary thing for them, some of them, to join a choir and maybe sing solos or maybe not, but it was kind of scary. And so they needed a container of safety to do that in.
And was that something that you were creating? I mean, it just wasn't something that happened, right? That was just something you went with intention and created that safety for them.
Yes, I did that with intention. My objective was to create a place where people could feel safe in experimenting with their voice and just doing that without fear of judgment or without fear.
Singing is a very scary thing. There's a lot of shame in our culture if you don't have a good voice.
Sounds familiar.
I wouldn't say shame exactly. It's just I don't sound very well when I sing. And
I don't believe that.
Well, trust me on this. Just trust me. I mean, we could raise a ton of money for KPFT for me not to sing. If I threatened to sing and was on the air, people would be calling in saying, I'll give you $1,000 if you'll just shut her up. Maybe I should do... No.
I just think you haven't found your genre. Maybe you should try heavy metal with me.
Oh, yeah. I can scream really well.
Come to Joyful Singing 101, and I'll bet you'll just be singing like a pro.
Well, you say that one of the reasons that keeps people from singing is emotional.
That's right.
And you think everyone can sing.
Absolutely.
And sing well?
Sing well, absolutely. Everybody has that inner brilliance that all it needs is a little permission to express itself.
And what kind of permission does that take?
Well,
does it take some risk?
Absolutely. That's the whole thing. That's why the container has to be safe so people feel comfortable with taking that risk. Because it's a very vulnerable place to be, to sing in front of people.
Mm-hmm. And you say that singing enables you to invite a greater joy into your life.
Oh, yes.
And thus is your title of your workshop, Joyful Singing 101. So how did you come about developing this? You were working with someone and...
One of the experiences I had was right when I was out of law school, I was working in a corporation and we had a Christmas party. And someone said, oh, there's a piano. Why don't you go over there and let's do Christmas carols? So I did. And there was a guy there that I just never had connected with. And he came over to the piano and I was playing a carol and singing, and he started singing, and we looked at each other, and instantly that relationship was healed. forever. So there's something, my voice, there's an intimate connection between my voice and who I am. And so I think that when we sing, we raise our energy level. That's why people get together and sing. That's why churches sing, because the energy level of the entire group is raised.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about your relationship with Patty Walters.
Oh, she's my life coach, and she's just great. And she's helping me launch this enterprise. This is kind of a new thing for me. And she's also a voice student of mine. And so we have great fun together. And what she tells me also is that the work that we do together has helped her. She does a lot of public speaking in her work, a lot of public speaking and communication and that kind of thing.
As I guess you do too, as an attorney.
Yes. Uh huh. Although I'm transactional, I hold meetings and that kind of thing. I'm not in court though. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I see. So you forget here, folks.
Anyway, Patty tells me that her public speaking skills and her communication skills have vastly improved since she started doing the work, since we started working together.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that's just getting over the emotional hill of wanting to speak out or express yourself. How did you start doing that?
I guess I just kind of gave way to that urge that just wouldn't be silenced. It's one of the things we do is we explode those issues that silence us.
Well, I happen to have some inside information, and I know you started doing
it. And let's tell them why.
Because Tony and I happen to be partners. And so I happen to know that Tony started doing a improv comedy troupe 2-3 years ago, and I was just curious if that maybe played a really big part in your evolution towards doing this workshop.
Absolutely. One of the things I learned, this is Third Coast Comedy, and it's just absolutely wonderful, and they have a new theater on 34th Street at TC Jester. But getting out on stage and not having anything scripted, so that you don't know what you're going to say. You just have to simply live with the moment and go with whatever happens there on stage. Is quite an exercise in living in the present moment and just sort of going with whatever happens. And that's, well, one of the things we do in the workshop is we create characters. We imbue the characters with Dave Hal DePue is our leader, and he taught us how to create characters and bring those characters on stage and have them sing, thereby expressing a part of us that we'd like to get to know, or we'd like more of this, you know, whatever it is, courage or whatever. So yeah, the improv was a big factor in fact, as Patty pointed out to me, I really started this whole idea after I got in the improv troupe. Thanks for bringing that up, Greg. I'd forgotten about that.
But music seems a lot different than improv. I mean, with music, from my experience, you usually have to put in a lot of hours of practice, constantly rehearsing and getting it right, and then you go on stage and improvise.
That's exactly right. Actually, you can improv singing too. In the Joyful Singing Workshop, we do individual coaching in front of the group, and we have people that have always wanted to sing but never have sung before, or people that say they've never matched pitch before, singing like pros in 20 or 30 minutes.
You know, I'm going to have to be like a test case for you, because one, when I was in elementary school, I was told to lip sync while everyone else was singing. And then when I was a young mother and I would sing to my children, who would say, "Mommy, don't sing, Mommy." You know? So I kind of got a little bit of a complex about it.
I'm not surprised.
So you know, you could actually take someone, you know, that literally cannot carry the tune in the bucket and have me singing.
Right, because...
And not have people shudder and run.
Absolutely, because your inability to carry a tune is not that at all. It's simply a belief that you picked up. and it was a wounding belief. And so, as Greg has said before, I love this. He says, to sing is to heal, and that's part of what we do in that workshop.
You know, since it is fun drive time, and you said it takes 20 minutes to sing like a pro, we've got 5 minutes. Let's see if we can get her to sing like an amateur.
No, Lily. We're not going to be that brave, but we do want people to be calling in and making their pledge. Maybe on a future program after I do the workshop,
I'll volunteer.
We can do that. But 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We're going to have some folks from the Women's Chorus on right after this interview, and I know I've heard many times people that are in choruses express the bond that takes place between them by sharing music, and the importance of finding voice as a community. The choral groups, the bands that we have in the GLBT community, You said you've seen personal transformations from people finding that voice, and
absolutely,
that they just needed that safe place to do it. So,
how often do you have workshops?
Once a month.
And if someone's interested in finding out more, what would be some contact information?
They can call me.
And what would the number be?
It's 713-826-9814.
And we can't give prices over the air, but I assume there's a fee.
There's a fee, yes.
And so if people want more information, give that number again.
It's 713-826-9814.
And you can talk with Tony Pryor about his Joyful Singing workshop, Joyful Singing 101, which is a way to find your voice through singing. And it also can enhance your life in other forms of communication as well, and maybe get you in touch with something that you haven't been in touch with. Maybe you used to sing, but you've been away from it, so you want to get back to it. Or maybe you just want to take it to a higher level. Maybe you feel like, well, you know, I could do more, but, you know, I would really like to join the women's chorus, but I don't feel confident enough to even go audition. So, you know, this is a way to give that a try. And how long does the workshop take?
It's Friday
night.
No, Friday night, 2 hours, 7 to 9 p.m. And then on Saturday, we start at 9:30 and end at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. And it's done once a month in what area of town?
In the Heights.
In the Heights. A lovely area of town it is, too. So, once again, we've been talking with Tony Pryor, who is the facilitator of Joyful Singing 101, and we'll do. I know Jennifer wants to do it. I know she wants to, you know. Well, we're going to have the Queer Voices Follies or something. And
I can't wait.
And then, you know, I'm probably still going to be so intimidated because it's the one thing I most would like to be able to do. And I always thought it was a hearing thing, that because I can't speak foreign languages either. It's not that I don't, you know, my level of hearing is okay. It's just somehow I don't hear the differences in the sounds or the whatever. So it'll be interesting to find out.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right. So thanks for being with us on Queer Voices.
It's
Jerry
a pleasure.
Falwell's favorite deacon scampered up the aisle at church, sporting lavender pajamas and a matching purple purse, with a triangle tiara and the cutest little hop. Tinky Winky made him do it. Even God can't make him stop. So now Jerry's on to Tinky with his soft and supple ways. How he captivates the children and recruits them all as gays. How he undermines their virtue, all that's manly, strong, and straight. Tinky Winky's tempting toddlers, and they're going for the bait. Do you you think that tank's the Antichrist? The winky Viet Cong with his decadent accessories and tantalizing song. You beat the same old drum, Jerry, you stir the same old pot. Tinky Winky must be banned, Tinky Winky should be shot. Ah, but Tinky's hard to find out on a cold Wyoming night, where two losers cruise the bar scene and they're spoiling for a fight. But they do find Matthew Shepard, and he's small, alone, and gay. It's 2-1, they got a gun, they're taking him away. You know what happens next, Jerry, you know, and you know why. They left him hanging on a fence to bleed and freeze and die. The word is father to the deed you can't undo. No, it wasn't Tinky Winky, Jerry, maybe it was you. For the word may shine like lightning, but the thunder sounds like hate. If they came to get you, Jerry, would you care that they were straight? If you were holed up in the bathroom, would you finally understand why the policeman at the door has got a broomstick in his hand? Tinky Winky may be boring, Tinky Winky may be quaint, Tinky Winky may be holy and be canonized a saint. Tinky Winky may be dumb, Jerry, but when push comes to shove, Tinky Winky will not hate you, no matter who you love. Scanning your old sermons, and in one of them I read, is it true? Is it loving? Does it need to be said? That's three strikes and you're out, Jerry, it's time to scrap the speech. Take a tip from Tinky Winky and practice what you preach. Why don't you practice what you preach?
Charlie King from his 2001 album, I Struck Gold, and the name of the song, of course, Tinky Winky. This is Queer Voices.
Yes, indeed, it's Queer Voices. We're in Fun Drive. We need your support. We need you, for you to call in so that you can hear our joyful singing, or not, at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And I'm here with Jennifer Renee.
Yes, and if you donate a lot, we won't let her sing.
Yes, promise. Not until I've had Tony's workshop. But we have with us two great-looking women who already sing, and they sing with the Bayou City Women's Chorus. Amanda Prazak?
Prazak, very it, that's correct.
And Susan Hedman.
That's correct.
And they told me that they are lower altos.
We rock.
Absolutely.
We just rock.
And, you know, I was asking somebody not long ago, I said, you know, there's sopranos and there's tenors and there's altos. And what do you call that? And I think they said it was your part.
Yes. It's basically what range, what octave you're able to cover.
So if I ask someone in a chorus what level they sing, I would say, what is your part?
Yes.
Okay, that would be the correct terminology.
Yes. And the lower altos are always on the back row.
Uh-huh.
Yes, because we're the rowdy ones.
I thought it was because you were the tall ones.
Well, that too. In some cases.
Yeah. Why is that? Why is it people are staged where they are in the chorus?
I think because the sopranos are shorter and they have shorter vocal cords.
Oh.
I didn't say that. Susan said that.
Well, that's an interesting thought.
That's why Angela Passeretti's right there
that's
in the
right,
front.
Absolutely.
Yes. But what a voice.
Absolutely. We absolutely agree with that.
Woman,
you know, we love you, Angela.
Yes. And so the let's give a little history about the Bayou City Women's Chorus. There used to be a women's chorus in Houston called Heart Song.
Yes.
And then that kind of disintegrated, and for a long time there was not a women's chorus, but there was a gay men's chorus. And then a couple of years ago, the gay men's chorus incorporated as the Bayou City Performing Arts, and James Knapp, the director, said, hey, you know what? There really should be a women's chorus in Houston. Why the heck isn't there a women's chorus? Mm-hmm. And he actually went to work finding some people that were interested. And lo and behold, there were a bunch of women out there just hungry for there to be a women's chorus.
That's right.
So started the ball rolling. Some former members of Heart Song, some other people found out about it. And it's been at least a year.
Since January 2005 is when they really started.
And
a small group, and then it grew from, you know, each month thereon.
And well, it was about eight people at the first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now we're up to 45. And I would just also like to mention a very important person who's gotten this off the ground is the president of Bayou City Performing Arts, Flo Peria.
Yes.
A big, big,
yay,
big hand to her for getting this off the ground.
Yes. And she's been one of those behind the scenes people, but she told me that she was going to start singing eventually.
I'm twisting her arm, but
second performance
so far.
Heard it from her yesterday.
Okay. And the women's chorus is very inclusive, and it has a range of what?
If you are straight, if you are gay, if you're bi, age does not matter. Transgender does not matter.
We'll take you.
But it is a wonderful, wonderful group of wonderful women. We are inclusive. And I have to say that I held off for getting involved for a while because I just assumed that you had to read music. I couldn't read music if you put a gun to my head. I don't know a flat from a sharp, but I can feel it. And that's the only way I know it. We do not have formal auditions. Do not let that scare you. Our director will take you through a simple vocal exercise just to see if you're a soprano or an alto too, like Susan and myself.
Very good.
That was good. I liked the way you did that.
Well, Bayou City's Women's Chorus had its debut performance in June during Pride Month, and there was one show scheduled, but it sold out like right away.
Immediately.
And they scheduled a second performance, and it too sold out.
Yes, we could have gone a third, and it would have sold out.
I believe so.
No doubt.
And you know, one of the things that was different than when Heart Song used to perform was there were lots of men in the audience for this.
Yes.
And I thought that's neat because the women have come out and supported the gay men's chorus for so long, and here now the men are back supporting the women in what they're doing, y'all rocked.
Thank you.
It was a really good show. What types of music do you do?
We do show tunes.
Ever popular.
Some spiritual, some really serious stuff.
Funny stuff.
Some really funny stuff. Like we did a song called Bittersweet Chocolate, which is just hilarious.
I like that one.
Which we do.
Anyone that knows about me and chocolate.
And not to scare anybody, but periodically we will do a little bit of choreography.
Yes.
Simple choreography, not to worry. And which really adds to some of these songs. You know, without it would just be kind of so-so. But
we know all of you out there have lots and lots of rhythm and coordination. Dancing will be no issue.
That's right.
If I can do it, you can do it.
Well, if we want to get involved, someone out here, how do we get involved? And when do you have rehearsals? And give us some details.
All right. Well, our first rehearsal will be cranking back up September 5th. At Covenant Church at 4949 Caroline, 7 to 10 p.m., and each Tuesday evening thereafter.
And you can just show up and
yes.
say, I'm here to try out, or I'm here to just watch
just,
you.
Just say you're here, and James will take James and Flo will take care of the rest of it.
Is there a telephone number or somehow to contact somewhere, somebody?
You can go to BayouCityPerformingArts.org or 713-521-SING, S-I-N-G.
Oh, wow. Oh, that should be easy.
Isn't that catchy?
I also want to say that the first few rehearsals are open rehearsals.
Yes.
So, you know, women can come and see if they like it, see if it fits in with their schedule, see if it's, you know, what they're looking for, and really not make a commitment at that time. They can just come and check it out.
Pretty much the whole month of September is open to people who are curious. Just come on by, but I think come the end of September, that period will be closed, and we will have the chorus in formation.
These women are actually out actively recruiting.
Oh, yes, we are.
So if you've ever wanted to be recruited...
And I need a poster of it.
Yeah, that's right.
My beautiful lesbians.
The GLBT community, here is your chance.
We have a great time there.
We
Wonderful
do.
Group of women.
Just fabulous.
Incredible.
And I would also say, if you're interested in supporting us, as a fledgling organization, if you don't want to sing, there are all kinds of roles available. Maybe you're a business owner and you want to underwrite, or you want to put an ad in a flyer. We need all kinds of support. So it's not just about the singing. Any way that you're interested, call 713-521-SING or go to our website. There are all kinds of roles available, because we are looking to blow the roof off of this thing.
Now, you currently have 45 members. Is there a limit to the number that you can have?
Not
I mean, if a thousand people wanted to be part of the chorus, you'd say, okay.
We'll take them.
Okay, we'll take them.
Because we're going to fill Jones Hall, mark my words.
The men's chorus was in Jones Hall and did fill it.
Yes.
Did, they, too, did a wonderful program, and some of the women also took part in that before they actually had their own debut performance. The season will start when? The new...
September 5th. And then...
Where do y'all perform first?
At Baring
Memorial is where all of our performances are scheduled currently. December 2nd and 5th will be our Christmas concert series.
Okay. And then the men's chorus will also be starting their season?
Yes, in December also, I believe. A week later,
yes. I believe. Right. So, and at this point, you know, you can get season tickets at
a big 30%
discount.
30% discount, which we won't say how much that is, but it's 30% off.
It's a bargain. Believe me, it's fabulous entertainment.
Can we buy the season tickets online? Is that where we go, or do we need to call someone? What do we need to do to get in line?
You can go online.
To our website.
Yes, or you can call 713-521-SING and speak with Sandy White.
And that website is... BayouCityPerformingArts.org.
Yes.
Okay. I think I've gone to it a few times. And you can even see the now for the men's performances, they have numbered tickets, and for it varying its open seating.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And actually, I ended up in the balcony because I should have gotten there earlier.
It's a hot performance.
Really. Although I had an excellent view. Except for that guy with the bald head, and it was shining. So it's not. It's something you really don't want to miss, and it is another way that builds community.
It builds community within
the chorus itself, and then it also builds community for people that go and support. I mean, I may not can sing, but I'm a great listener.
And we appreciate it.
And I'm sure you need volunteers behind the scenes to help you.
Absolutely. Set up, take down.
I'm going to do wardrobe.
Wardrobe?
Oh, you're on.
I'll have some dress.
We'll take you.
Okay, well, that's a whole different show.
Oh.
We also, you know, contributions.
Take money, too?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Just like KPFT.
Just like KPFT. During our fun drive.
713-521-SING.
No, wait a minute.
Cash.
People are going to be calling, donating to the chorus instead of KPFT. Now, really, we need you to do both, because that's what it's all about, us all supporting one
and
another.
And get those season tickets for the chorus.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, the sooner you get them, the better seat that you get.
30% discount.
30%. Thank you, Jennifer Renee. Absolutely.
And I know that there are people, people from all over this city that it is quite the thing to go to those performances. And so
That's wonderful to hear. You don't
want to lose out. And probably every time you perform, you get a few more people that are interested in joining. Is that?
Well, you know, I think the way Flo has said it makes a great deal of sense. If you get 100 that are interested and you get a 10% return on that, you're really doing well. It is a time commitment. We understand that. For me, it's a labor of love. I love doing it. But the return in joy and community has just been greater than anything I could have expected.
Had you both been in choruses before?
I was a member of Heartsong.
Uh-huh.
I've always been members of church choirs.
Uh-huh.
So this is really a new experience for me, and I've just loved it. I was there from the beginning, and it's just been a wonderful experience, and I can't wait for practice to start back up again.
We're all really antsy and can't wait to get back together.
Well, Amanda and Susan are two of the members. They're alto.
The tall, very attractive, big ovaries, and singing women of the Bayou City Women's Chorus.
And they are inviting you to, one, come and join with them in song as part of the chorus, and two, come and join with them as part of the audience and support the Bayou City Performing Arts and all the good work that they do, being part of the GLBT community.
Say one more time
Houston.
How to get in touch with you. Go.
713-521-SING.
And also BayouCityPerformingArts.org. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
On Queer Voices.
And, you know, we've been doing so much talking about singing. I have something kind of special for you here, right here. This is brand new. And JD, eat your heart out. I have one of only three copies that exist in the entire city of Houston. See if you can guess what this song is called.
Watching Fellini with his friend Genie.
that was, of course, the Buffalo Song. No, just kidding. That was the Martini Song by Jim,
that was good.
By Jim Cox. He wrote the music and lyrics. And Tim Baker did vocals. And Them's Two's Locals.
Oh, yeah?
And it was recorded right here in Houston.
I need a drink.
Hey, after that, anybody's going to want a martini, believe me.
Yeah, actually, I have some. I think it's Gatorade, but it's the Komen Foundation Houston Race for the Cure that's going to be coming up in late September. And they sent us a packet to remind people to sign up for the Race for the Cure.
And only one pink wristband.
Yes, and the Gatorade is
pink. Of course, guess who's wearing
too.
It?
Oh, well, no, who's wearing it? Well, she opened the box of candy.
The diva is wearing
it,
thank
but,
you.
But, you know, this beverage is pinkish, too, you know. And anyway, but,
what
you know,
beverage?
I have
it looks
an
like
issue. I have
like
an issue with Outsmart magazine. I just want you to know that they did this article on animal magnetism. It's several pages long, and it shows people with their cute little dogs and all that. But somehow they neglected to feature the cutest puppy in the world.
And what puppy would that be?
Well, that would be Miss Betty Boop.
Betty Boop?
And
whose pet is that?
Well, her mamas tell her that she's the cutest puppy in the world, and they wouldn't lie to her, so therefore she must be. And Outsmart magazine did not feature her.
They didn't call me about my two cats either.
Nor
mine.
Well, they just didn't.
Yours either?
No.
That's terrible.
They have to do cats next time, I guess, but I am expecting Betty Boop to be on the cover in the very near future. Okay, enough of that.
Call in 713-526-5738 or 713-526-KPFT and come on and pledge. By the way, when you pledge, you're supposed to pay it, too.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And you can put it on plastic, which we like a lot because that goes immediately into the funds. You may work for a company that does matching donations.
Oh, yes, and please let them know that you gave the donation.
To KPFT. There we have a form for that. Our lovely volunteers who need something to do, they don't just like to sit there and look at phones that aren't ringing. They want to take your pledge. They want to talk to you, and they can. There might be some premiums available. I don't know. There's usually T-shirts or something wonderful that you can get from KPFT, and you can get one of those nifty stickers that say 90.1 and sport it on the vehicle of your choice.
Yes.
And let everyone know that you're a really cool and with it kind of person who supports.
All the cool people have 90.1 on the back.
A lot of people have them, and I'm like driving along, and I feel like, hey,
I love it when people, you know, hey, you've got it right.
Yeah, 90.1. And with such diversity here at the station, they may be listening to it for an entirely different reason than you do. But you listen to this program because somehow or another, we communicate things you want to know about. It might be news. It might be politics. It might be things going on in the community, such as the Women's Chorus. Or it might be the latest book that's come out.
Or political events coming up.
Yes. Jennifer being the president of the Houston Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Political Caucus often has things of political interest.
That's exactly right. And sometimes also the PAC, which is the organization with it, that does a lot of the political volunteerism and
the
voter registration and the endorsements.
Very important.
Get out
the endorsements.
Or the GoTV.
Yes. And then we're bringing in Jeff Reed from HERA, the Houston Equal Rights Alliance.
That's right.
He's going to start becoming a regular on the show to give commentary. Of course, we have David Elliott once a month from Washington, D.C., because he has insight of what's going on nationally.
Yes.
Joan, Glenn always jokes that she's out in a cornfield because she's in Iowa, but she still manages to hook us up with some fascinating people and bring that to you.
I always think of Children of the Corn when I
do too. It's a different kind of Children of the Corn.
Well, the beauty is that, you know, KPFT is listener operated. You know, that's where we get our money. We don't have you are our advertisers, so it's important that you show us that you enjoy our program and enjoy KPFT and the other program by donating to the station.
And there's just one simple way to do it. And that's to call on the telephone. And I know everyone has a cell phone these days.
That's right. You can call. Listen carefully as Deb gives you the number. You can dial it right now.
713-526-5738 or 713-526-KPFT. And if you're really alphabetically inclined... No, inclined.
Oh, okay.
713-JAM, J-A-M, K-P-F-T. Jam those phone lines so that we want to leave here feeling good because we're here doing our part as volunteers for this station. You do your part by being a listener supporter, a listener sponsor, because that's what it takes, all of us doing our part. And we do have other things coming up in the... rest of the month. Of course, one of the big things we have that you can't get anywhere else is J.D. Doyle and his Queer Music Heritage.
Queer Music Heritage, the last hour of the last Monday of the month.
No, it's the fourth Monday.
Because we have 5 Mondays this month.
That's right. So on the fourth Monday of each month, we have J.D. do his thing. We have Glenn come in and donate his time as an engineer. And we're going to have Carol Wyatt ranting soon.
Yes, we will.
You know, I know people like that. So it is the top of the hour. And what do we do at the top of the hour?
This is KPFT Houston, Texas.
That's right. We have to do a legal ID.
I know. I keep forgetting
that's
how to do it.
That's what that's called, a legal ID. Well, I think the next segment is yours, Jennifer.
Yes.
And the politico that you are, you're going to take it away.
Yes, we have on the telephone with us Dr. Dana Beyer, who is seeking to fill a seat in the state assembly and become the first transgender member of the Maryland House of Delegates, or District 18, which is located in Montgomery County, and that borders on Washington, D.C., which is heavily Democratic. Dana, are you there?
Hi, Jennifer. I'm here.
Good. Well, first of all, being
is
transgender myself... I'm sorry?
Is this Pledge Week at your station?
Yeah, it's Pledge Week.
Okay.
You know how it is.
Yeah, I know. We have it up here, too. Can't get away from it.
No, you can't. And it always seems to come at the oddest times. We didn't even know we were having Pledge Week till after we'd already scheduled this show. Tell us about your campaign. Now, I know that some of the basics, but what got you into this campaign?
Well, first, let me just sort of correct you. You said I would be the first transgender person in the Maryland House of Delegates.
Yes.
It's a little bit more extensive than that. I will be... When elected, I will be the first openly transgender person, and openly is important, ever elected to a state-level office in American history.
Hear, hear. So there were a few of our girls were stealth?
Yeah, well, there may even have been more that we still don't know about. There's a woman in Massachusetts who is still stealth. She's been outed, but she still denies it. So she doesn't count.
I have a few girlfriends like that, too.
Right, and my friend Amanda Simpson, not too far away from you in Tucson, Arizona, ran 2 years ago and came pretty close. She lost to a Republican in a general election only by about 3,000 votes. And she was an inspiration, and when this opportunity arose, my friend Rich Madalino, who's currently a delegate here, and who's going to become our next state senator because our senator retired, suggested to me that I might want to run for this seat and sort of follow in his footsteps, and that's what I'm doing.
Now, I noticed you're a medical doctor, an eye surgeon, did I understand?
Correct.
And also, you've done it, not only have you had the practice there in Maryland and in the United States, but you've been overseas, too.
Right. I've worked in Kenya, and I work for the World Health Organization in Nepal as well.
Excellent, excellent. Also here in the United States, down in Mississippi?
Correct. The bulk of my practice has been in southern Mississippi.
Now, as far as your candidacy and all, endorsements have you garnered thus far?
Well, that's interesting. I've received, the most important one is the Victory Fund. The National Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund is the third largest PAC in America. They only support LGBT candidates, but they don't have any sort of political litmus test. Their only requirement is, and they go through a very intense vetting period, is that you be capable of winning. You have to have a campaign plan, and you have to have a budget. You have to know how to do this. And I went through their training, so they knew I knew how to do it. and they felt that I was capable of winning, and that really helped inspire me to know that these people whose record this year, their track record this year is 34-5, they've elected the first openly gay state legislators in Oklahoma, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, and North Carolina this year. So that's quite inspirational to me to know that they are on my side. I also have the endorsement of Equality Maryland, on whose board I sit, the Montgomery County Retired Teachers, and the Maryland and Montgomery County chapters of the National Organization for Women.
Hear, hear. Yeah, and the Victory Fund has been instrumental in helping several candidates in our city elections, one the controller of the city, Anise Parker, as well as an openly lesbian member of the city council, Sue Lovell.
Yeah, no, they do great work, and they do it on all levels. They don't just, it's not like Emily's List, where they're just looking for pro-choice women on the congressional level and above. These people, the Victory Fund, get all the way down into the farm system and deal with aldermen and county councils and city councils and even sheriff. I think there's a woman running for sheriff now in Indiana, I believe, whom they're endorsing. So
yes,
that's where you start.
Right. Also, up in Austin, Texas, we had a state legislator was elected in a special election.
Austin doesn't really count as Texas. But, yeah, you know, this year, everybody in your listening area gets a chance to vote for Kinky.
That's right.
Right? Are you endorsing Kinky? Or?
No, we endorsed Chris Bell.
Oh, okay.
The Kinky Friedman. This is Deborah Bell.
Hi, Deborah.
Dana.
Are you related to Chris Bell?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I bet you know my friend Martine Rothblatt.
Yes, I do.
She's a good friend of mine, worked with me on the March on Washington in 93. And
I just heard from her a few hours ago, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's contributing to my campaign.
Well, I imagine
she's very generous,
so.
And that's wonderful. I haven't actually had contact with her since I read her book, The Apartheid of Sex, 10 years ago. And that book may have actually saved my life. So I went and thanked her afterwards. I met her family and such. But I lost contact with her pretty much because she's been busy.
Yes.
Know, becoming very successful.
Yeah. Well, she's been pretty successful for a while, but has a lovely family.
Yes, she does.
She's a dear friend. She and her wife both are dear friends of mine. And thing about the way we do endorsements through our political caucus in Houston is the candidates have to seek the endorsement and they have to screen. Now, did Kinky Friedman?
No. Invitations were extended to all four candidates and only Chris Bell answered. And so the PAC does not endorse anyone that hasn't officially screened with the caucus.
Also, Kinky didn't even file.
Oh, no. We got a rather terse reply in an email. Didn't even call us.
Well, I'll speak to him about that because I know his brother up here. So.
Well, you know.
So, you know what they say, politics and strange bedfellows.
Yes, I think they should just, you know, have flip a coin or something, odd man out or something, with all four of them.
Or odd woman out.
Odd woman out, excuse me. Yes.
Dana, isn't your fourth candidate a grandma or something?
Yes, grandma.
Okay.
She's a Democrat that became a Republican and who's now running as an independent.
Democrat, Republican.
Yeah, who knows? the Dana, what are some of the things that you bring to this race, some of the issues that you feel like that you are offering that is above and beyond your opponent? And who is your opponent?
Well, I have seven opponents. This is a pretty crowded Democratic field.
Okay, so you're still
Democratic
into a primary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're in a
the Democratic
still.
Primary field. There are no Republicans in this district, so whoever wins the primary is the delegate-elect for most all intents and purposes. What do I bring to this?
Is there an incumbent?
Well, there's a vacancy.
Uh-huh.
A senator retired, and one of the delegates, the first openly gay man in the state legislature, is moving on to become the state senator. He's unopposed in his primary. So that's an historic race also, because he'll be the first openly gay senator in Maryland history. And so that left a vacancy on the delegate level. He suggested I run for it, and I've chosen to do so. And I have seven competitors. But there are three seats, all told. There are two incumbents and one vacancy. So there are eight of us competing for three seats. My particular niche, what gives me an edge here is my maturity. I'm about twice as old as the average age of my competitors. I've had a very extensive professional life. Obviously, I've gone through a gender transition, which has affected my character. But as a physician and a surgeon, I can speak with authority on issues of health care. And I think it's time that Maryland follow the lead of Illinois and Massachusetts and provide universal health care for its citizens. And to go beyond that as well, to maintain the momentum towards universal care for America, once we get back a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president, I believe we will finally get that. We've been fighting for this in one form or another for 90 years now, and I think it's time we rejoin the civilized world. I think we can do it, and I think Maryland needs to take the lead. Maryland is a very blue state, a very progressive state, the most educated state in America, the fifth wealthiest state in America, and I think if we can do it anywhere, we can do it here.
What other issues other than the health care are the keynotes of your campaign?
Well, it's primarily health care. That's what most people are concerned about. We are also, like most Americans now, beginning to become increasingly concerned with energy independence, greenhouse gas pollution and such. So that ties in with our local transportation issues. There's always education, which is an issue because we have large influx of immigrants, and our school capacity has been expanded to the breaking point. So we have all these typical local issues, but the main issue that resonates today in Maryland is health care.
Yeah. Before we move on, what's your website if people want to get more information about you?
Right, it's danabeyer.com, danabeyer.com.
Okay. Now,
and Jennifer, one other thing.
Yeah.
What sets me apart from the other candidates is I have a very strong religious background. I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish community, and I have had a very intense education. And as a result, I've been able to reach out to conservative Democrats and conservative Republicans and speak their language. I know the language of faith. I understand how people who put faith as the highest value in their lives think. And I can relate to them. And when I do so, they realize that I respect their perspective. And I'm able to reach out and build coalitions, as I've done locally here. And I think that's very important, because I don't think we're going to have a new progressive era until we can build coalitions, find common ground, and there's more common ground than you would think, Karl Rove notwithstanding, so that whatever we do build will last for generations and not just be another flash in the pan and then the Republicans come back in and just junk it all.
Understand that. And one of the things I was reading through the bio on you, and I was very interested about the people in your life that inspired you.
You mean Bobby Kennedy?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm old enough to have been inspired by Bobby Kennedy, by his brother John. I remember his inaugural address. I was only 9 years old, but I remember it. That's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. In the 60s, we were inspired to public service. When I worked in Kenya, I worked as a physician. I delivered babies. I did general medicine and general surgery, but I worked next door to the Peace Corps volunteers. That was something that many of us aspired to. I didn't have 2 years to give to it because I had my medical school commitments, but most of my friends wanted to do that, and many did. And I would like to get back to that. That's motivated me throughout my life. I've been in despair for the past 6 years, and then my kids started telling me, you know, why are you just complaining about things? Why don't you do something about it? Little did they know that I would actually run for office, but I felt it was time. And reaching back to the 60s, to the inspiration of people who suffered, like John Kennedy, who had been in great pain from his personal life, and then Bobby, who saw his brother assassinated and such, and who became better people as a result of it, was very inspirational.
Absolutely. Well, Dana, I want to thank you for joining us. Now, we, of course, when you win, we want you to come back on the show and talk to us about it and tell us how it feels.
Okay, I will be very happy to.
And give us your website again.
DanaBeyer.com, DanaBeyer.com.
Thank you very much, Dana.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Deborah.
All right. This is Queer Voices.
And it's now time for you to do your part as a listener sponsor by pledging, making a donation. We
have for years, I think ever since I first started listening to the station back in the 70s, back when it first started, the basic asking price...
I was
price,
a mere baby then.
Yeah, me too. 35... Actually, my son was a mere baby. But $35, I mean, that is not a lot of money to donate just for a basic membership. And to anything above and beyond that, of course, is very welcome and appreciated. The more if you can, less if you can. I mean, even if you could only give $5, that's something. That's saying I have value on what is done at KPFT. KPFT speaks for me, and KPFT also listens to me, because there is a system here where listeners can get involved with the station, be on the board, be volunteers in different capacities.
You can come in and learn how to be one of the engineers. Join Glenn out there. Well, that's right. Ellie is one of them. Speak to us about volunteerism.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, if nothing else, it keeps me off the street and keeps me out of people's hair. But honestly, it's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of interesting people. Got to talk with Allison Bechtel, I think, or
Bechtel,
who does Dykes to Watch Out For, which I absolutely adore, even though I'm not up on the pronunciation, but hey, can't do anything. And this is the only station where you can have a transgender candidate get free airtime, you know, without corporate interference or anything like that, and interviewed by, hey, another transgender person. I mean, that doesn't happen anywhere, and it's so cool. Yeah.
With a transgender volunteer.
Oh, wow.
And you know, there is...
We're taking over.
There is queer programming in different stations around the country. And of course, some stations have a little bit here and a little bit there, some more than others. But KPFT has had an ongoing commitment to have inclusivity in with gays and lesbians, transgenders, and bisexuals being represented, not just in programs that are community service focused to those communities, but throughout the programming, news and items of interest on many levels.
Well, there's a lot of times there's no other place to get the word out quickly than on KPFT. When something's going on in the community, some event, it gives us the opportunity, because we're listeners sponsored, that we can get the word out no matter what's going on.
And what is the number?
It's 713-526-5738.
And Ernesto is sitting out there in the lobby, and he's all alone.
Oh, Ernesto, would you like
Ernesto
to say something?
Give us a call, 713-526-KPFT. Ready to take your call?
Volunteers are sitting by.
Standing by the phones. They want to hear from you.
And we need to hear from you. We need to know that this show has support, that you value, that you listen and you value what you hear on Queer Voices. Just the fact that we can have a show called Queer Voices is pretty amazing. But while we may have things on that are controversial, we don't program with the purpose of controversy.
Ours is all about information.
And items of interest that, you know, you may not know about any other way than to hear about it on KPFT. We are part of the community. Like I said, we're part of the fabric of the community of Houston. And what we do is important. What you do is important. And you listen, and so you need to be supporting Queer Voices and KPFT. So please, we're going to be bringing up Jeff Reed from the Houston Equal Rights Alliance. He has some political insight. He's the man in the know. I can tell because he has on a... Is that an Astros cap?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hey, you going to talk about Joe Lieberman tonight?
Yes.
He's nodding your head. They can't see you out there.
Yes. And so, you know, if you care about what's going on in the world, and if you want to know about candidates and issues that impact your life as a GLBT person or as a non-GLBT person, Queer Voices is a place that you can get that information. So call us. Mm-hmm. pledge your support, pay that pledge, ask for about a premium. There might be something you get besides the lovely sound of my voice not singing. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And
remember, the part of the pledge, one last thing, part of the pledge, you can pledge just a few dollars a month. You don't have to do it all in one lump.
Good
point. You can pledge just $10 a month, $5, whatever it is welcome, and it'll help. Be a sustaining member of KPFT.
Give up that latte and, you know.
That's right. You know, one, two Starbucks a month, and you've given a great donation to the station.
That's
Speaking
right.
Speaking of which, we need to thank some sponsors of the fundraising drive. Not of us. I'm sorry. Maybe Ernesto does. Maybe Ernesto has some
Ernesto,
people to
Ernesto, do you
thank,
have anything?
I know that we had some very, very nice folks who gave pledges. Want to thank Anonymous in Houston. Also want to send a big thank you out to Jim, who's very appreciative that GLBT programming is available in prime time. So thank you so much to those folks. 713-526-5738.
And we also want to thank the Hot Bagel Shop, Isla Coqui, White Mountain Foods of Austin, Texas, and Onion Creek for providing food to our volunteers.
Yeah, yum, and yum. I always forget to
eat.
To come
I've
here
never
early.
Seen you forget to eat.
Oh, please. To get here early enough on pledge night so that I can get the goodies while there's still some out there. So, anyway, enough with the pitching.
That's right.
Call,
let's
make your pledge, and let's talk to this cute...
Jeff Reed.
Ooh, yeah, this cute guy that's in here.
He is.
They look hungry tonight.
I've locked the door.
Uh-oh. And as I said, Jeff is one of the volunteers with the Houston Equal Rights Alliance. And first, tell us a little bit about what HERA is.
Well, the Houston Equal Rights Alliance is an organization which works to educate people about GLBT issues in the community, and we also work to create connections between other community organizations like the Houston GLBT Political Caucus and Equality Texas, the People for the American Way, various other organizations, so that we can use the existing organizations and infrastructure that we have to create something better and to move forward from where we are.
And is this a paid position for you?
Oh, no, it is not. It is very much not a paid position
for
me. No. I just do this really actually out of a love of sort of politics and out of my kind of sense of duty to the community. So.
Uh-huh. And HERA has a pretty young group of volunteers, right?
Well, we were very fortunate. Our field director was Emily Langdon, and she recently went to New York to go to law school, but she really was instrumental in helping us get a volunteer base that's very young and energized and active and really...
Oh, I'm so glad.
You know, it's extremely difficult, unfortunately, to get young people involved in the political process because, you know, they have a lot of other things to think about. They're trying to go to college and, you know, they don't necessarily think that they're voice can be heard because what they see is older people who have more power, more money, who are more established, who are kind of running the show. But that's actually not true. Every vote is worth one point, so to speak,
yeah.
And if you're 18 years old, your vote is just as valuable as somebody who's 75 who has $1 million.
And yeah. they haven't yet caught on to how the political process affects their lives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Until you've, you know, started to get your own job and pay taxes and kind of pay attention to what's out there, it's sort of hard to understand how it can really affect you.
And as close as the races are now or have been, you know, every vote does count.
Yeah, and actually that's one of the things, the thing I sort of brought with me to talk about, which I think is kind of the interesting thing in politics that's happening right now. For those of you who don't know, last Tuesday was the Connecticut primaries, and Joseph Lieberman, who was, of course, the vice presidential candidate to Al Gore's presidential candidate in 2000, who, you know, famously got more votes than Bush-Cheney but didn't manage to make it into the White House, he lost his Democratic primary simply because there were a lot of locally motivated people who didn't like his representation of them, and they felt like he had in some ways betrayed the Democratic Party by being a little too close to the Republicans, and he lost. which is shocking because sitting senatorial incumbents don't lose in primaries. This sort of thing hasn't happened, I think, probably in 25 years or more. And in particular, being such a nationally prominent figure as someone who was the vice president on the ticket, and now he has decided that he's actually going to stay in the race as an independent, which is highly controversial in some states. Like Ohio, they have what they call a sore loser law, where if you lose a race in the primary, you're unable to then come into the general election. But he's trying to do it anyway. But the point that I sort of wanted to make about it is that these things can change. And we are at a place right now where there's a lot of talk about discomfort. If you look at all the polls, incumbents are very endangered right now. Everyone is measuring dissatisfaction with the current administration, with the current Congress, with the current local governments even. And so now is the time. If anybody who hasn't been involved before, who has felt like their voice hasn't been heard before, thinks that they want to get into it, now is a great time to, because there's a real chance to make change. And that's one of the reasons that HERA, right now, up until October 10th, which is the voter registration deadline, is partnering with the Houston GLBT Political Caucus in working on a voter registration drive. This is rule number one for getting involved in politics. The first thing that you have to do is you have to go and get registered to vote. So if you have access to the internet, as almost everyone should, because you can go to your public library and access it if you don't have a computer at home, you can go to www.tax.co.harris.tx.gov. It's a long one, and that will take you to the website, which is actually the website of Paul Betancourt, the Harris County Tax Assessor. You can also just Google voter registration.
I think
Harris
you can. Can't you text message it too?
And you can actually, if you're young and hip, you can text message.
Oh my! I didn't know that. I'm not young and hip.
Yeah, the ones that are always text messaging their friends. Listen to this. This is right.
If you look up Harris Votes, I think it also will lead you to that, and that's a really easy one to remember.
But if you're sitting in class and you don't have anything to do, you're bored with the teacher, you can text and get and register.
Text the word HERA, H-E-R-A, to 75444, and it will text you back with information on getting registered to vote. Now, it is important that you do this now, because there is a deadline. The deadline is October 10th, but as we all know, when we're paying our rent and our cell phone bills, the deadlines come sooner than we might like them to, and so I really encourage everybody to do this now and get it out of the way, because on October 9th, if you haven't done it, you're going to forget, and then it's going to be too late.
And the other thing is, if you have moved since the last time you voted, you may have moved to a new precinct, which
That's
means
true.
You need to register in the precinct in which you now reside. When I work the polls, there's nothing I hate worse than to have to turn someone away and not allow them to vote because they didn't do what they should have done.
Yes.
It's not hard, and people act like some people don't register because they don't know how. Well, we're going to give them the tools so that they know
That's
how.
That's right. The county has done a whole lot. You can go to the website, the text messaging, all of these things. And, of course, y'all are going to be working on a regular basis to and very visibly
yes,
to sign them people up.
So we're trying,
or change their...
We're trying to, in our area, so we're actually physically very close here at the KPFT studios to the HERA offices, but in our area we're going to be trying to go around the neighborhood and knock on people's doors and get as many people as possible registered to vote. This is a complete nonpartisan thing. We just want everybody who is eligible to be registered to vote to register to vote. It is the most basic thing we can do, and by not participating in the process, by not being registered to vote, you do yourself and you do your entire community a huge disservice.
Well, you know what it means? You're allowing others to decide for you.
It's
and
true.
That in itself, to abstain from voting is a vote with the majority.
That's correct. It's frustrating to me because people say, well, I don't vote. This is what I hear all the time. Well, I don't vote because, you know, it doesn't make a difference and they don't listen to what I say and what I do doesn't matter. And voting is the most basic form of political speech that you have. If you don't speak with your vote, then there is really little point in speaking otherwise.
Yes, and on November the 8th, after the election, if you haven't voted, you don't get to complain.
That is correct. You are not allowed to complain about the outcome if you didn't vote. And as I said before, remember, October 10th is the deadline, and you have to make sure to get registered before then. So, you know, just a little bit of effort now will save you the heartache of
the vote is just the basic unit. That's step one. What are the other things people can do?
Well, you know, getting registered to vote is actually so important that step one is get yourself registered to vote, and step two is get everyone you know registered to vote. Because unfortunately, as compelling as Queer Voices is, and as, you know, soothing the sound of my voice is, that lulls people into this trance-like state where they go and register to vote.
Unfortunately, it
doesn't work quite that well. We need you to go register yourself to vote, and then sort of like in the airplane that's going down, once your oxygen mask is in place, you need to make sure that everybody around you has theirs in place. So you need to go around and hassle your friends and, you know, print out the forms for them and do whatever you can to get everybody you know registered to vote.
Now, if you have parents that are not registered, you can register for them. You can register for your spouse, or you can register for your children. Those are the only familial relationships that are allowed to do that.
But you can strong-arm your friends. I'll buy you a beer if you register to vote. You can do what you can.
Yeah, I'll pledge to KPFT if you vote.
Exactly.
If you register to vote. And if you're going to be 18 by election day, you are eligible.
That is an important point. You don't have to be 18 right now.
But if you're going to be 18 by November 8th,
November 7th,
then you can go ahead and register.
And you really should.
Yes. And you should get involved in a group like Kara.
Oh, exactly. Or, you know, and another thing is, you know, if all this information has blown by you and you can't figure out what you're supposed to do other than register to vote, you can always talk to your local support organizations, Hera, the GLBT Political Caucus, most groups that do social service and political service work will help you get registered.
And how can we contact Hera?
The easiest way to contact Hera is through our website. That's at www.houstonera.org. And you can also call the office, although the office number escapes me right now, unfortunately.
It's okay. They can go to the website.
Or always you can check the pridehouston.org, and they have all
That's
the community
right. they
organizations
have all those community
listed
organizations.
There. Jeff Reed from the Houston Equal Rights Alliance, thanks for being with us
on Queer Voices. Thank
and
you,
now
ladies.
We're going to hear the rest of This Way Out.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
Considering the volatile situation in the Middle East, it had to have been nothing less than remarkable that the Jerusalem World Pride Festival came off without any major problems this week. A health fair, Women's Day, and LGBT Youth Day each drew several hundred participants. A multi-faith religious conference may have been something of a first, as lay people and clergy gathered at Hebrew Union College on August 9th for several plenary sessions, speeches, and unique dialogue.
Today was a huge success.
Rabbi Sharon Kleinbaum is from New York City's Congregation Beth Simchat Torah.
Given the complexities and difficulties of the situation here in Israel, we gathered together religious activists from around the world and hopefully presented a very different image of what religion and its role could be, and took a strong stand against the right-wing religious bigots who are using religion as a weapon against our lives.
We asked Rabbi Kleinbaum, who's also the World Pride North American co-chair, if there was any Palestinian participation.
No, Palestinians who are in the West Bank or Gaza could not come into Israel. And we went to the one of the checkpoints by Bethlehem to express our solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the territories who couldn't come.
Rabbi Ayelet Cohen, also from Congregation Beth Simchat Torah, was among non-gay religious people at the multi-faith conference.
As a straight person who is a rabbi, I think it is imperative that we gather together both JLBT people who are deeply and profoundly religious people and straight people who are committed to working to make this world more just and to make religion reflect the values of tolerance and pluralism and really make clear that it is a place where JLBT people are creating vital transformation.
Rabbi Kleinbaum discussed the wide spectrum of religious belief represented at the conference.
The multi-faith conference had several hundred participants, both Israeli and from abroad. We certainly had Muslim, Christian, and Jewish. We had a gay Catholic priest, evangelist, Methodist, gay Lutheran minister, pastor from Germany, a pastor from Sweden, UCC, MCC, Metropolitan Community Church, Unitarian, Unity Fellowship Church, and in terms of Jewish, we had Reform, Conservative, Reconstructionist, and Orthodox. I would say it was two-thirds from outside of Israel and one-third Israeli.
Irshad Manji is the controversial best-selling author of The Trouble with Islam Today, A Muslim's Call for Reform in Her Faith. She's also a visiting fellow in the International Security Studies program at Yale University.
You know, I always judge a gathering or the success of a gathering by two things. One is how many younger people show up, and because really, you know, they are the ones who are going to be carrying the message forward. And secondly, what sorts of conversations happen, you know, that are scheduled in the corridors, for example. And on both of those fronts, I have to say that this multi-faith conference has been a huge success. I've had some of the most delightful, wonderful encounters with younger, if I can put it this way, seminarians. I don't know that that's the right word for the particularly Jewish theology students, but those who are studying to become rabbis or who have a huge interest in the rising influence of religion in geopolitics today have just provided me with some wonderful insights of their own. And that's not something that you can necessarily schedule. Younger people approach me to say that as a result of what they have heard in my speech that night, they are seriously considering returning to the fold of Islam, because this was one of the few times that they had heard the statement about how Allah and gays can be reconciled. Those have really been the highlights for me, and I leave this conference feeling very optimistic about the future.
Noah Sata of Jerusalem Open House, the major organizers of the week's events, talked about the impact of current events on attendance.
Our estimate is that several hundred people came to World Pride from all over the world, from Europe, the U.S., Canada, and a few from South America. And fortunately, due to the war in Lebanon, we did have a lot of cancellations.
A much ballyhooed visit by LGBT youth to the Knesset, Israel's parliament, also came off without much of a hitch. Again, Noah Sata of Jerusalem Open House.
There were about 100 teenagers and young people who met with the Knesset Committee for Children's Welfare and representatives from the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Health, the various issues concerning GLBT youth. And despite huge threats of demonstrations against this event, there were 7 people protesting it.
In the major culminating event of the 6-day World Pride Festival, a group of about 200 LGBT people and their supporters held a silent vigil in Jerusalem's Liberty Bell Park on the evening of August 10th to protest anti-queer religious rhetoric and abuse. According to a report in the Jerusalem Post, however, the heavily guarded demonstration was interrupted by a group of anarchists who joined the gathering and began waving placards against the war in Lebanon and shouting slogans against the Israeli Defense Force. Police detained one protester who unfurled a PLO flag. Because the vigil had no formal speakers and did not obstruct traffic, it was an otherwise legal gathering under Israeli law. The long-planned World Pride Parade scheduled for that day was canceled after police refused to issue a permit, and organizers acknowledged that it would not be wise to hold the march because of current conflicts in the region. A huge red banner at the vigil read, "Jerusalem is for all," while rainbow-colored placards included such slogans as, "The path to God is not always straight." Reporting for This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon.
Kia ora, I'm Chris Carter. Being the first openly gay government minister in New Zealand is a great privilege, almost as great as being able to listen to a quality queer radio program like This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
Pulitzer-nominated author Tom Spanbauer is most widely known for his epic novel, The Man Who Fell in Love with the Moon. His latest work is the autobiographical story of a gay teenager growing up in a bigoted Idaho farming town in the 1960s. This Way Out's Brian Goble caught up with Spanbauer on the San Francisco leg of the book tour for Now is the Hour.
Parmesan cheese. My troubles all started with Parmesan cheese, and they ended with Parmesan cheese. My life up to now has been one big cheese cycle.
The universe has always conspired to screw up Rigby John Klusner, the lovable gay teenage protagonist in Tom Spanbauer's warm coming-of-age tale, Now is the Hour.
After 17 years of breathing, I, Rigby John Klusner, do hereby declare there sure as hell are a few people I could live without.
Like his cult classic, The Man Who Fell in Love with the Moon, Now is the Hour is about finding yourself, and it's loosely based on Spanbauer's own life in Pocatello, Idaho, which gets an apology in the acknowledgments. Young Rigby John struggles at home with his virulently religious family while trying to escape the violent attacks of Scardino the Bully at school. He's also having an awakening about his sexuality in a small-minded town full of bigotry and homophobia. The characters in Now is the Hour are illuminated by Spanbauer's minimalist writing style, which involves the destruction of sentences, or as the author puts it, saying it wrong. Our protagonist begins the story right after his emancipation, when he's decided to stop being scared.
He's on Highway 93... and somewhere between Reno and San Francisco, hitchhiking to San Francisco, and he's headed for the summer of love, but he doesn't know that yet. And the reason why he's out there really is because he's left his overly zealous Catholic mother and his laconic, kind of grumpy old father, and the small mores of the town of Pocatello, and he's leaving it all behind because really he's grown out of it. The story really, the profound story starts the day he's caught masturbating behind the barn, and his mother decides that for his soul they have to do a novena to our Mother of Perpetual Help. It was about 5 o'clock. My chores were done and the sun was still up. I was leaning up against the barn in the sun, my bare ass against the warm red wood of the barn. I was slowly pulling on myself, feeling the deep grace of the earth and manure I was standing on coming up through me. I was just about ready. My breath was coming hard, when out of the blue the latch on the barn door turned. Then the squeak of the hinges of the old back door. Then the door was open, and there she was standing right there next to me in her red house dress, her plucked eyebrows, her pin curls and hairnet, the little lines around her starting around her mouth. Her almond-shaped hazel eyes looking down at me, down there, red and wet and poking up. My mother. Faster than you could say, mortal sin, Mom had closed the barn door. And there I stood with my pants down around my ankles, leaning up against the barn, gripping one long strand of mud down onto the dry cow manure. Just me and Tramp and the trap door to the underworld flung open inside my heart. I couldn't move. Really, I'm not exaggerating. I just fell over. Didn't try and catch myself for nothing. Just like a Roadrunner cartoon. One moment I was in one position standing up. The next I was in the same position lying down. The time between when Mom caught me and supper at 6 o'clock was an eternity. Everybody says eternity like it's just another word. But that day, that hour, was an eternity. Something that was never going to end. And I didn't want it to end because The end meant I had to walk in the house and stand inside my mother's almond-shaped hazel eyes. All I wanted to do was smoke and smoke and smoke, but Dad's cigarettes were in the house, on the refrigerator. Plus, he would miss the cigarettes if I took more than one. Tramp, I said. Tramp, we're in big trouble. Tramp's orange face on his black dog face, his tongue went to hanging out. Tramp, I said, what am I going to do? Tramp got that look in his eyes. What the hell am I going to do? Tramp's paw went up, poking the air. I should have started hitchhiking right then, but I wasn't ready yet. It took almost 3 more years before I was ready for the road.
Spanbauer, so much of Now is the Hour is about being bullied. Were you picked on when you were a kid growing up in Idaho?
Boy, I sure was. I really was. Of course, it was my family. There was my father. There was the Catholic Church. And then I'd get on the bus to go 12 miles into town to the Catholic school. And there was all the Mormons and all the Indian kids on the bus. And I had to fight my way to school, and then I get to school, and there was Scardino, somebody like Scardino at St. Joe's, and hated me because, you know, it was before there were nerds. I guess I was just a big nerd then, you know, but kids now at least have the comfort of having a name they can call themselves. I didn't even know what it was, what I was. And so I ran into a lot of... I could say that my... From 7 to 12 was, you know, pretty horrible time. Of course, isn't it for every person almost in their teen years where... trying to form who we are and don't have a clue.
Your previous novel, The City of Shy Hunters, took you 10 years to write. How long did Now is the Hour take for you?
Well, I didn't want to have the bad reputation of taking 10 years to do a book, so I tried to turn it around as fast as I could. After Shy Hunters, I really didn't know if I could write again. That book was just about killed me. And... it's taken me 4 years, just a little over 4 years to do this book, and I'm really happy to be here to tell you about that.
The characters that you write about are so lovable, but their stories are so sad. What does it take in you to build, to write the kind of characters in a story like Now is the Hour?
Well, you know, I think and you look at the human condition very closely, and we're all really bewildered and confused. We're set down here on this earth, and we don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go next. And bewilderment is the human condition, which I think can bring out a lot of anger. And really, I think underneath it all, there's a lot of sadness. So all I think I'm really doing is touching into my own sadness, which... is everybody's. I think it was the Dalai Lama who said that when you meet someone, you look closely into their eyes and be kind, because within those eyes, a great battle is waging. And I think that's kind of the human, what's happening with all of us. And so I just go to that place inside of me and try to put that on the page.
Tom Spanbauer, thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful being here.
Tom Spanbauer's new book is called Now is the Hour. It's published by Houghton Mifflin. For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, John Beaupre, Tanya Kane Perry, Rex Walkner, Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, and Brian Goble contributed program material. Metropolitan Klezmer, Scott McKenzie, and Jimi Hendrix performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. Click on the features link on their front page, or use the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. We thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from some special LGBT movie, music, and history CD thank you gifts. To sign up for our weekly email program information messages and or our occasional This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We all thank you for listening on KMUN, Astoria, Oregon, WRUW, Cleveland, Ohio, CFRU, Guelph, Ontario, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
And this community radio station needs to hear some phones ringing because I think Ernesto is out there snoring because he has nothing to do.
Ernesto, are you out there?
He wants to answer your phone calls, your pledges of support for Queer Voices and for KPFT. They've got to call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. You know what happens? If we don't raise money this week or next Monday, they make us do it again.
You're going to hear this over and over again. Come on, please, send some money in now. Pledge $10 a month if necessary or $20 a month.
Girlfriend, you do not want to hear me whine any more than you want to hear me sing.
Off the air, she whines. I promise you don't want to hear it on the air.
I hate whiny women. That's why I try not to be one. Mm-hmm. But I do need your...
Hush up, Ellie.
I do need for you to show that you support Queer Voices by making your pledge of support. Maybe you're thinking, well, gee, I don't have any money right now. Well, it can wait till payday. All you have to do is make the phone call and pledge. 713-526-5738. Pledge now. You'll feel good because you did your part and you know that you have supported this station.
713-526-KPFT.
Come on, my friends. I know you're listening out there. Reem, I know you're listening. You promised me you would tonight. So come on, give a pledge of support.
That's right.
And you know what? The Pride Band, they need your support too, but what they want is something different than you calling and pledging. They want, if you're a xylophone player and have your own xylophone,
yes,
they would like for you to come and help them out. You don't have to be GLBT, just GLBT friendly.
You just have to have a xylophone.
And be able to play.
A big xylophone.
A xylophone and be able to play it. And they welcome other people that play other instruments as well.
Too,
but apparently they have a number that's going to require a xylophone and they're in great need of one. And you can find out how to get in touch with them by going to pridehouston.org. And you can find out all about all the community organizations that way.
May I make a slight announcement?
Of course you may.
Last week, we talked about Brenda Thomas, who was a GLBT activist for many, many years, and she passed away. Well, they have scheduled her memorial service at Bering Methodist Church this Wednesday at 5 p.m. You know, all the community is welcome to come over. There will be a reception afterwards. And, you know, come and honor her by coming out and spending a few moments seeing the friends and remembering her now that she has passed and all her good works.
That's true.
That's Wednesday, 5 p.m., Bering Methodist Church.
And
And what?
And?
We need more money. The phone's not ringing.
We need carpet.
We need chairs.
We need a roof. We need some nice office chairs. Somehow, the chairs we had, they started disappearing and breaking and... It's really bad.
If your chair was any lower, your chin would be on this table.
I know, it's very strange. It's a fairly comfortable chair, but it's very low.
Oh.
And
all of these things, including the broadcast equipment, all of this comes through the donations that you send in, the airtime, the transmitter tower.
There are bills to be paid in order to run a radio station.
And
even
you
when
are
you don't pay the excellent program.
Yes, listener sponsored.
Or you don't pay the excellent engineer. You still have to pay the phone bill. You still have to pay for the tower. There's probably licenses and things that have to be paid for. There's a very small staff that is required to keep the place running. The building is a very old building. It has a very rich history.
Yes, and the air conditioner doesn't work.
Very often.
Especially during our show.
For some reason.
Is that why we do the show naked?
Don't tell them about that.
I'm sorry. Gosh, I'm glad you can't see.
Yeah. I mean, we could do... You know, it's like that joke they have on television news where they don't have anything on below the waist.
Oh, yes.
They're sitting at a desk and nobody can see. They have on the sports jacket and they're wearing shorts underneath.
And that's what we do here on the radio. No, you know, they can see us out there.
Yeah, right.
Actually, that's not a joke at certain stations I've volunteered at. So
They can visualize because radio is theater of the mind.
Ooh.
Yes. And
because of that theater of the mind, you need to call in now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, and pledge a donation, and don't forget to pay it, to keep us on the air.
You notice how the more desperate we get, the sillier we get?
I don't know. I'm very serious.
Uh-huh. I'm serious about you making that phone call and pledging to KPFT. And you can go to the lovely website, www.kpft.org.
Yes.
Which is a magic place because not only can you make your donation there,
yes,
you can listen to the radio station.
Yes, you can. And tomorrow, the next day, this show will be archived. And so if you miss parts of it or you want to hear it again, you can go there and listen.
Which I'm so sure they want to hear it again. I'm not even sure.
Well, you can cut out the pitch we're having and really hear some of the conversation.
After you've paid your pledge, you see, because then you'll say, hey, I don't have to listen to all of that because I already
Your pledge will also support the website.
That's right.
We archive the shows, and not just ours, but all the other mini shows and news programs can be heard at any time you want to hear it. You can download it to save it because, you know, there are some of our shows that are so incredible, you want to save them forever.
Or in case you need something to play that'll lull you to sleep, you can...
I hope no one is like that. I hope we haven't
Hope our...
I hope we've had some interesting guests tonight, and
I think we have.
It was really a musical
and political kind of mesh.
It was a mess.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
But
I know.
Listen, I want to hear some phones ring, and I want to hear them now. The diva has spoken. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
Is Ernesto out there still? Is he want to chime in?
I think he's passed out.
He may be on the phone answering the phone, taking a pledge. You never know.
I didn't hear any ring.
What, Ellie?
Oh, I was just wanting to warn all the listeners out there, don't make me call you out by name. I will.
Uh-oh.
Oh, she's taking names and telling them. Oh, dear. So call in with your pledge right now. Or we'll call you.
You know, that's an idea. We should just get on the phone and start calling people.
On the air.
I'm hurt, you know.
Put them on the air and let them
say
no.
All those people that say, oh, I really liked your show last week. I wish that they would, you know, remember that at pledge time when there was something. Or,
okay.
Oh, if you hadn't have talked about such and such, I would have not been able to go. Yeah. Well, here's your way to say thank you.
Well, we want to thank our guests.
Well, of course we do.
Tony Pryor, talking about Joyful Singing 101, Amanda Prasak, and Susan Hedman from the Bayou City Women's Chorus, Dana Breyer, candidate for Maryland House of Delegates, and the folks who produce This Way Out at KPFT. KPFA in Los Angeles.
And Jeff Reed from the Houston Equal Rights Alliance.
Absolutely.
Join us next Monday for Queer Voices, when we'll have Carol Wyatt doing her political commentary, the Wyatt Rant. We also hope to have Dot Nelson Turner, who is running for Texas Representative in District 150, which is in northern Harris County. We'll have the latest Theater New West production from Joe Watts, artistic director, The Normal Heart, the groundbreaking play about the beginning of the AIDS crisis in America. Mm-hmm. Plus, your favorite thing,
the GLBTPC Pact endorsements. Who are we going to interview?
Well, maybe the president of the caucus. I think her name is Jennifer Renee Poole.
Oh. Well, I promise to be here to be interviewed.
Okay. And, of course, we're on every Monday following Interchange with Larry Payne. We're on from 8 to 10 p.m. on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM and on the web at www.kpft.org. Shows are archived on the web for 60 days. You can listen for the first time, listen again, or download and save. Stay tuned for World Village Cafe, and thanks for listening.
Good night.
Been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.